The drive continues with Need to Know Basis on TSN 1200.
Welcome back. Hour two of The Drive to get you into your long weekend. Lever's Edge, Graham Creech here at TD Place. The powerful Matt Conesvita back at 87 George Street in the market.
Thanks for pointing that out.
We have no control of when we turn our mics on or off when we're live on location, and Matt made me listen to whoever this band is.
Yeah.
The band.
Exactly.
Right.
Lee's probably thinking of Da Band.
Anyway, Matt,
Daddy's group
made us. If you like the band, then you would have been happy in the last 30 seconds. Was trying to get Matt to turn our mics on before that, but he's like, "No, I'm enjoying the song." That's the way it goes. Graham Creech, what do we need to know?
Well, you do need to know. As soon as it came out of my mouth, I was like questioning it, and then Matt asked, he's like, is Hart Canadian? But
they have ties.
So they're from like the Washington State area, and they moved to Vancouver before having commercial success.
Yeah.
And they always tour within Canada. Like, most of their tours are Canadian tours, and that's what I was thinking of. So I guess no, they wouldn't completely classify as Canadian, although I don't remember the CanCon rules, but maybe I'm sure that some of their music was released within Canada or a Canadian record label, so that would probably count towards CanCon. But yeah, I wanted to clarify that before jumping into You Need to Know. We got to start with game day.
There is so much news today. It's nuts.
Yeah, and I'm going to rip through a bunch of it,
yeah.
but not all of it. You know my style with Need to Know. I'm going to give you a bulk of what you need to know, and there's some other things here that they're just not going to get mentioned in Need to Know.
And you know what? Sometimes chit-chat. AJ wanted to chit-chat. In the middle of Need to Know.
AJ wanted to.
The other day, I'm like, wow, you've been taking notes from Graham Creech here. All right, Graham, what do we need to know?
No, that's a you thing. You started that with Mendez.
Ah, it's all just, we
I
talk.
Just kind of adopted it.
We talk here for a living, right?
We'll start with game day, 7:30 kickoff, TD Place. Red Blacks looking to grab their first win of the season, avoid going 0-3 to start the year as they host the Lions from British Columbia.
I like that.
7:30 kickoff. I'd say that the countdown to kickoff begins at 6, but it's going to be maybe 5:45-ish, something like that.
Even 5:40-ish,
even 5:40-ish here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Also of note, the Senators have first promoted Trent Mann to assistant GM and hired Ryan Bonus as an assistant GM. So both receiving the AGM title. And Ryan Bonus, of course, son of Rick Bonus, and previously worked director of pro scouting with the Pittsburgh Penguins, now the assistant, one of the assistant GMs with the Sens, and of course Trent Mann, with his experience heading up the amateur scouting, will be promoted to assistant general manager as well. Kevin Durant, have you seen this? Because this is late.
This is
pretty new.
Yeah.
But KD has requested a trade from the Brooklyn Nets. Did you guys ask Dave about the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday?
Incredibly no.
Because I know he has like a rule.
Yeah, but AJ and Dave got into this weird conversation where they just talked back and forth for about 25 minutes, and I really had no idea what they were talking about. Like, they were just talking about, and then we got into hockey and Nick Paul and a couple other things. So no, we did not. What? So Kevin Durant's asking for a trade.
Jimmy, I got to tell you, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So that was yesterday. We played this clip from the St. Louis Cardinals broadcast, and Jim Edmonds is their color guy.
Yes.
And he goes on this, I don't know, the play-by-play guy's talking about the DH rule. And
I would imagine as a DH, that's the frustrating part. Kind of like a pitcher, you got to wait. You have a bad start. You know, it's 5 days you're going to be back out there. And then as a DH, you get that one pitch, hit it off the end of the bat, now you got to wait. That's no fun.
That's like, you know, when you, you know, you read things for so long and you just throw out like the name of our old TV station versus our new one, or you know, stuff like that, just kind of flies out and you just don't even realize it.
Jimmy, I gotta tell you, I have no idea what you're talking about.
That was so good. And actually, Jim Edmonds like doubled down and started going through all of the old stations beforehand. And like, dude, what are you talking about?
So good.
The play-by-play guy just called him out. Like, Jimmy, I got no idea what you're talking about right now. I love that. Play it for AJ. I wanted to make sure we got it on with AJ on the show.
So next Wednesday, yesterday. I don't know who your co-host is.
AJ.
It is? I thought AJ was off next week.
No, he's going to Saskatchewan Thursday, Friday.
Oh, Thursday, Friday. Okay, so...
Dean Brown's in for the draft Thursday, Friday with me.
You'll be able to ask Dave about the Brooklyn Nets and KD.
And Dave's in Edmonton for the Brick Hockey Tournament, staying in the mall hotel for 10 days. Cleared his schedule. He's like, yep, I'm available next week. All right.
So KD requesting for a trade as his representatives and Nets GM Sean Marks trying to find a trade for KD. And USC and UCLA have informed the Pac-12 that they intend to leave for the Big Ten as early as 2024. And that lever siege
is what you need to know. The KD stuff, I don't know in basketball, like the comparison to other sports, but I don't know if I've ever seen something where one guy on a team is basically starting an entire rebuild for the organization, right? Like, how many times can one guy be traded or want out, and you have to completely blow up your entire organization from what you're doing?
Yeah,
LeBron?
Yeah.
Whatever team he was on, right? Like, if he wanted out, then...
You don't have to explain the situation.
No, but how many other people in any sport?
Well... KD. You know what? Definitely not on the same quite a level, but in the conversation. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I don't think at the same level.
Well, that's what I said. It's not the same level, but...
As in, I wouldn't put him in the conversation, but okay, yeah.
That's what you should have said, not in the same conversation. Okay, all right then.
Anyway, it's an incredible...
It's a good question, though. I'm trying to think of other sports.
There aren't many where one guy has so much cachet in where the organization is either going or not going. In basketball, it really is different from the other sports where, you know, if you get... Like, we saw the Celtics. They had a seven-man rotation in the playoffs, and that was it. Like, I know it was seven, like, team-oriented guys, but all I'm saying is basketball can change with the snap of a finger more than other sports can, but... Even if in hockey the Oilers lost McDavid but kept Draisaitl and got two or three other guys in the McDavid trade, they wouldn't blow up their entire organization. I don't think they would. But in basketball, KD wants out. The Brooklyn Nets are in a full rebuild. Period. End of story. And I just think that's an amazing concept. And what a trade would look like to go get Kevin Durant on your team. Because it doesn't just mean the fact that you're an instantaneous contender for the title. It would also mean the marketing and what you'd be able to sell as far as tickets, as far as merchandise in the next few years with a healthy Kevin Durant could literally revamp another organization that gets him. You basically give most of the rest of your roster to go get that guy. Anyway, I think it's fascinating. I'm not a... Like, Kevin Durant likes to voice his opinion, and he starts getting into these little media battles all the time with either different players or people from the media. That's his right to do it. I don't love it, but the guy is such an incredible basketball player that... Whatever team he goes to, they're probably the number one team to win the title.
You think Drizzy's on the phone with him?
Yeah, I mean, he can pick where he wants to go. I think every team. How can you not pick up the phone if you're an organization? And at least get the no, he's not going there answer from his representatives. You have to pick up the phone. If you don't pick up the phone, you are not doing your job.
I wonder what the... Like, what happens to the ego when you force this And it blows up, and it's just horrendous. Because I think the thought was when they put together this team in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. that at the very least they were going to be appearing in NBA Finals and just dominating the Eastern Conference. And it hasn't come close. And I know they've dealt with injuries and stuff to some of those guys. But still, that's a colossal failure.
Yep. Because they... Whether it was with Kevin Durant.
I think Ben Simmons is going to want out now.
Do you think Steve Nash is going to want out now? Do you think everybody in your organization is going to want out now? I don't know that I've seen as fresh a faced AJ Jakubek ready for tonight.
Yeah.
He just popped his head in the studio. First of all, he's here 4 hours before the game.
Yeah,
AJ,
what's going on?
Come on in. I know Mike Whittingham's here and Julio Caravetta's here. Listen, you're hanging out with the big boys. But I got to ask you, the commissioner's coming on. Okay? Live.
Every week.
Okay?
Seems like, right?
No, he's coming live to the tent at 5:20. Okay. And yes, we're on the air. If you think that we're not on the air, of course we're on the air. 5:20. So, AJ, you're going to come down. If you're here, and ask him your question about Saskatchewan, because I gave that to Graham Creech earlier, and now that you're here,
you can if you want.
Hold on, AJ. Oh, yeah. I know
you're on the air. Okay, then Mike Whittingham, who works for BC, has taken care of TSN Radio for the last whatever 20 years, and is an amazing human being, and just came in here.
What the hell is AJ doing here?
Julio Caravetta, probably because he's going out with those guys to get ready for the game and do a little prep.
A little prep, yeah. Get some info on the Lions.
Yeah. And he hasn't seen those guys because he has a routine where when visiting guys come in, and they're his favorite visiting team. He already said that. I said, I'll let every other visiting team know that BC is your favorite. But when Mike and Julio and these guys come, he always goes out with them the night before. But he couldn't go out with them last night. Girlfriend's birthday.
Oh, he didn't move it?
No. No.
The only reason I say that
is... It's a new AJ.
I don't know. I heard that there might be some schedule changes this weekend if I'm available for a pickleball match with him.
He didn't move last night.
Yeah, so...
And did you see how fresh a face?
He draws the line at birthday,
no beard,
no... Fresh dome.
Oh, he's looking clean cut as ever headed into the long weekend, which is fantastic. But we had Julio on yesterday. Julio was the last regular Canadian quarterback in the CFL. More like Brandon Bridge played a game and a couple guys have come in here and played like a game or two, but the last guy who played every week as a Canadian quarterback was Julio Caravetta in the early 90s for the BC Lions, and now it's Nathan Rourke.
That'd be pretty cool. Obviously he covers the team and former player, he'd be able to have lots of conversations with him, right? And if there's any questions or guidance and stuff that he can pass along. I'm sure that's a tremendous spot for both of them to be in.
Graham, what time is it?
Well, Lever, I think it's time for our very first of two giveaways.
It's time for Takeout Thursday
on TSN 1200.
Just like that, you don't even have to know any pertinent information. It's the long weekend. We don't want to make you think.
The reason I paused there, I was like, who's giving the information?
750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network, caller 15, get through to Matt Conesvita, and you're walking away with $100 towards Gabriel Pizza. What a present going into the long weekend. $100 at Gabriel Pizza, all yours. All you have to do is be caller 15 right now at 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network. It's a Takeout Thursday, courtesy of Gabriel Pizza and the drive here on TSN 1200. So Matt Conesvita will get to the phones here. Graham, we kind of moved on from KD into BC Lions talk quickly because the guys from BC and AJ popped into the studio. But so if you're Kevin Durant, you've gone to Brooklyn. I don't know how much say you probably had a lot of say in getting the, you know, the Kyrie Irvings and Ben Simmons and all the players that came in there. That's the one part that would worry me as a, like, that you'd have to balance going out to get KD, because it's a no-brainer. You do almost anything to go out and get him because he's maybe the best player in the NBA. When healthy, he's probably still the best player in the NBA. right now. Like, he's above LeBron. He's above being competition is the best player if he's healthy. So that's a no-brainer, but I don't know how much organizations would be willing to sacrifice. We want you, but you don't get to come in and then pick all your teammates and then have everything go south. We're going to control that part of it. We want you, but...
The other thing I'd do is, as much as you can, it's hard to say this considering the player, but I'd lowball Brooklyn as much as possible because of just the mess that organization is in with all of these players. Go back to Harden, KD, Kyrie, Ben. Like, it's a gong show.
Yeah.
So I know there will be suitors, for sure, but I think I come in low.
Yeah, I mean...
Like, low for KD.
Right, which is pretty high for everyone else, but, I mean, he's got to want to go there, and then you'd have to have the discussion of how much say that he would have. Players always have say that are of his ilk, but how much would you want to give him as opposed to him just playing for your team? And you also know that with Kevin Durant comes a lot of extras. Stuff that, and maybe that's good if you're a franchise that's in the middle and somehow he wants to go there. That's amazing, but not every organization would want that. Some text coming in at 12-1200. Phoenix and Miami, by the way, Woj threw out on the wish list, Kevin Durant.
Oh, no kidding. He wants to go somewhere where he can win with some young talent surrounding him. No. I'm shocked. The Prince has weighed in.
Good to hear from the Prince.
Kevin leaves Curry to join Kyrie, now wants out of Brooklyn. I'm guessing he goes to Toronto, see what Kawhi did with the Raptors. Bet he goes there, from the Prince. While Unsigned says, I'm a massive Pistons fan. No way do I want any part of KD on my roster ever. I think that the feeling would be mutual with KD and the Pistons.
But I understand what they're saying.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
If you're trying to build your organization from the ground up, and you're coming in with rookies and different people, and you're trying to build it the right way, I can understand that take.
Oh, yeah.
That reasoning. But I kind of agree with you. Don't know that Detroit would be...
Miami, Phoenix, Detroit. No. Which one of these is not like the other?
Social media is going crazy right now with this KD stuff and UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten. And then we got a lot of football and hockey to talk about as well. So it's a huge day going into a long weekend. And I just saw this too. How cool is this? Milwaukee's going to get an NHL exhibition game.
Nice.
With the Blackhawks. So we saw Seattle's going to get an NBA exhibition game yesterday, and now Milwaukee's going to get an NHL exhibition game coming up this fall. So if you're KD, is it Phoenix? I feel like it's Phoenix more than it's Miami. Because I think there's some pretty good teams in the East. And just because Miami gets KD, they'd be the favorite. But I don't know that they'd be the overwhelming favorite. I don't know what Phoenix would have to give up. But they were the best team in the NBA this year. Until they lost in the second round and had some injuries. And yeah, they lost. Maybe they shouldn't have lost still. But they won the most games in the NBA this year. And a pretty weak Western Conference. And then mix in Kevin Durant going there. I feel like it would be Phoenix over Miami, but that all depends on where Kevin Durant either wants to go play basketball or wants to live or both. So one of the insiders for Phoenix, again, Cully is shocked, Graham. Just told the Suns are now shifting their focus to Kevin Durant.
See, now that feeling might be mutual.
They don't want to. Well, they don't want to gut the whole team to get him, but that discussion now is the main priority. That's John Gambadaro, who is the longtime. We should write this on, but longtime afternoon drive sports radio talk show host, Arizona Sports, 98.7 in Phoenix. He was just told that the Suns are shifting their focus to Kevin Durant. Yeah, I would too. You hear Kevin Durant wants to go to Phoenix or Miami from Woj? The whole organization. Yeah, we're going to shift our focus to try and get KD on our team. Sounds good. We will take a break. Maddie, do we have a winner?
Betty and Garo.
Wow!
Caller 15, it's just that easy.
Nice.
And she ended the call with me with a big go Red Blacks.
Ah, yes.
Fired up for tonight's game.
You know the numbers, expected attendance? Sellout, rock this barn tonight?
Hoping they would need a good walk-up to get a sellout. There are
good
tickets.
Crowd, though, expected.
Yeah, but there are tickets available for people who are listening right now thinking, oh, you know, there's a big, they're talking about the game, big party going at the game, probably can't get in. You can't get tickets. So there is still some room to be able to walk up and be a part of this here tonight. And Betty Ann's pumped about it. Got her Gabriel pizza. She's fired up about the Red Blacks. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the CFL, the NHL. A lot of text to get to at 12-1200. Things are moving fast here on a Thursday afternoon tonight. We're going to start the pregame show about 5:45. Countdown to kickoff. The commissioner is going to join us right before that. Dave Naylor is going to join us at about 5:45, and it all leads up to 7:30, the kickoff. The 2-0 Nathan Rourke, Rick Campbell-led BC Lions against the 0-2. They've played well, but they don't have a win. Paul Lapolis, Jeremiah Masoli-led Ottawa Red Blacks. And it's all here on TSN 1200.
Let's get back to the drive on the home of the Sens, TSN 1200.
Welcome back to the drive, Lever Sage, Graham Creech.
Who's this,
in,
Lee?
In today, Matt Consvita back at 87 George in the market. Oh, it's the weekend, baby. It's the weekend.
Yeah, I know that it's the weekend. I just asked because I don't know if your mic was on yet, but Lee does this thing where he whispers to me.
But you can hear it in the mic.
But you can hear it.
Yeah.
It's the weekend. It's the weekend. Yeah, thanks.
This, Graham, this is the weekend. Because we're heading into the weekend.
It is the weekend.
And it's a long weekend, and we have football, and we have Senators news, and we have NCAA news, and we have NBA news. Yeah, just keep ringing that bell. You know what else?
Thanks, Tips.
Yeah, thanks, Coach.
Oh, that's so good.
Thanks, Coach.
I think I wonder if we'll see you, Coach, tonight.
You know what? We will. We'll see Coach tonight.
Yeah. Nice.
You know why?
I know why.
Yeah, good. So do I.
I think we're thinking of two different reasons.
I don't think so. Will they show him on the big screen? You think is he that big of a deal?
Yeah.
If they find him.
Have you seen his resume?
Yeah, I get told about it every day.
Wow, he's hating this segment right now, though. You got to start tearing him down a little bit.
I tried to tear him down yesterday.
But then him and AJ just had a loving.
Exactly.
To you.
Well, he told him that he had to take advantage of the fact because AJ never shows up for his own show. So he had to take advantage that he was actually there. But like I was going to lead into, before the break, Betty Ann won Gabriel Pizza. I just feel like giving more stuff away.
Mm.
So how about right now at 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network, if you want to go July 8th, the Ottawa Titans and the Empire State Grays. If you want to be there, all you have to do is be caller 15 right now at 750-1200, star 1200 on the Bell Network. July 8th, the Ottawa Titans and the Empire State Grays. Good luck, Matt Conisvita, answering the phones as we speak. All right, let's get back into the CFL, Graham, just with We got some guests coming up. Brad Snopley will join us next hour. In the 5 o'clock hour, it is chock full of guests. JP Volduk will join us. The CFL commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, will be on. We'll begin a little bit early as Dave Naylor will kick off, countdown to kickoff at about 5:45. Going to be a great atmosphere here, but I think there's a little bit of pressure on this team here tonight with the fact that they've played well and haven't won. They get the darlings of the Canadian Football League coming in the BC Lions. They get the former coach who Rick Campbell is loved in this town. He loves Ottawa. And really ever since, Graham, I think Paul LaPolice is trying to get out of the shadow of Rick Campbell. I think that's a... maybe you don't agree, but...
I don't know how much he's thinking of that.
No, but I think that cloud of what Rick Campbell did for the organization, and since Rick Campbell has left and Paul LaPolice has taken over, there hasn't been much success here at all. So whether he's thinking about it or not, to me, this could be one of those games that not only important to win for the team and to get going, but Paul LaPolice is probably tired about hearing about the success of the Ottawa Redblacks in 15 and 16 and 2018 and three Grey Cups in 4 years. And, you know, because it's his team now and he's been here for a while. And now he's got some new players and he's 0-2. They've played well, but it's time to put it all together
thing.
Here.
The disappointing thing is that they're 0-2 despite playing well against a pretty good team and just coming up short in both games. Because you have to be encouraged about how they're playing, especially like just from a pure fan perspective. Like, night and day, the entertainment value of this team is providing compared to the last couple of seasons that they played. But they're 0-2, and they're playing an upstart team that could hand them their like, if they're 0-3, that's a horrendous start to the year. Not out of it, especially in the East, but nobody wants to be an 0-3. Time to start winning. There has to be pressure, I think, despite playing well.
Well, and I mentioned Paul LaPolice specifically because Rick Campbell, of course, is going to be on the opposing sideline here tonight, and he's got his team off to a great start. And for Paul LaPolice, he's the holdover. The coaches are the holdovers in Mike Benavides and Bob Dice and Paul LaPolice. So to get this team going, when there's been a whole bunch of new players and Sean Burke's gone out and signed all those players and they've looked good, it's still early. But when you start to go down the road of chasing the whole season, it's one of those things. And I'm anxious to ask Brad Sinopoli, because I've heard him talk about this before, but a lot of people compared this season to 2015, where they had a whole bunch of new receivers come in. Brad was one of them, Greg Ellingson, Ernest Jackson, Chris Williams. I recall him talking earlier about what really helped them early in that process was they went out and they won. They won their first game on the road. They came back home. They won. They started out well. And that really built the confidence of, hey, we're a good team. And now we've proved already that we are a talented, good team. Where we can go from here? And they went 12-6. And they... you know, 2nd and 25, and they got to the Grey Cup that year. But he talked about the importance of winning early and what it did to bring a whole bunch of new guys together and let them believe that they could do something for the rest of the year. And obviously in an 18-game schedule, every game's important and what you're doing, but he talked about the beginning of that year. And so I'd be interested to talk to him now about, you know, how this team deals with being 0-2, with playing well. And yes, they've played Winnipeg, but they still have a pretty tough schedule here. Because I don't think anybody thought BC would come in and have this sort of expectation. I had BC home June 30th circled as a win for the Ottawa Redblacks before the season, having never seen them play. Had this one circled.
Now it's maybe not in pen anymore.
Oh, it's... there's a half circle, and I don't know which team it's around. The BC Lions are favored tonight. If that tells you anything. Not by much.
Yeah, hard for me, and you would obviously pay more, way closer attention than I would, but in just in looking at the results and the caliber of competition, obviously tremendous start. Everyone's talking about Nathan Rourke, and everyone's pumped up about that, and rightly so, but when you look at the quality of competition so far, couple of a big blowout wins over Edmonton and Toronto versus a couple of games where Ottawa, you could argue, deserved at least one win against coming into the season would be either the favorite or probably second behind Saskatchewan, according to most people that cover the league closely. So coming into this game, how much do you weigh into each of those things combined with the short turnaround for BC, the layoff because of the bye for Ottawa? Like, there's a lot of things at play. I'm expecting a good game. Like, I don't know if that BC offense has seen quite what Ottawa will be able to throw at them tonight, is my guess. But at the same time, they've looked tremendous. So maybe Ottawa hasn't quite seen that yet either. So I'm expecting a good game. I hope it's fantastic. But I can't say I'm feeling confident about, like, one way or another,
right,
about a win or a loss.
That's
like,
why that half circle.
Exactly.
I don't know where,
like, that's
it's
how I'm feeling.
Team.
But it's important. Ottawa needs a win, in my opinion.
Yep. BC can afford a loss. Now, the West has turned out. They actually need a win to keep pace with Winnipeg and Calgary, who are 3-0 already. BC's 2-0. Saskatchewan's 2-1. It's the East that Ottawa is actually very, very fortunate, right?
Big time. But still, like, to get out of an 0-3 hole will take you at least 3 weeks, at the very least.
Well, and to think that they're going to go into Saskatchewan and into Hamilton on back-to-back weeks. Like, next Friday they play, and that's in Saskatchewan. It's a 9:30 Eastern start. Be a late night for those of us on the East Coast.
Sucks for you.
No, it's great because you know what,
well,
Graham?
Stop complaining about it then.
I will love to hear from all of our regulars at 1-2 in the morning about a big win in Saskatchewan.
I'll be tuning in.
But it's going to be tough to win both of those games. So if you don't win tonight, you are with a good effort and a win on the road in one of those two games, you're staring at 1-4 before Montreal comes to town. And suddenly those divisional games mean everything. So anyway, it's just a...
Well, then you don't have, like, you can't afford to not slip up again or to slip up again. You have to, if you go to 0-3, 0-4.
Well, and when,
like, you need to put together a massive stretch of unreal football.
And when you're 0-3 or 0-4, you can tell people you're a good football team, and you know what they'll say? Okay.
Yeah.
How many wins do you have? And that creeps into the back of your head, I'm sure, as a player. Like, you believe in your team. It's not like you're going to quit on your team. You're going to believe that you can get out of the hole.
It's just a lot of work to do.
And there are some doubts about critical moments. We have yet to prove that we can get it done. And until you get it done in some of those critical moments, you don't have that belief yet. And you know who has that belief right now? The BC Lions. And you're right, they have a short week, and they got a schedule where they played Saturday night, and now they're coming and playing Thursday on the road, and Brian Burnham's not in the lineup, but they have all the momentum in the world coming into this game. So for me, I don't think BC has seen a team like Ottawa yet, but I also don't think Ottawa has played a team that is clicking on offense yet. Just like, because Winnipeg was not clicking on offense, and they still beat Ottawa. We'll take a break.
Before we do, Lee, you asked me to tell you something about this game that you didn't know.
I did do that earlier today.
No, it was yesterday.
Okay.
It was yesterday. You said...
Bring something
that I don't know.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So I got something. You know Dennis Leary?
Yeah.
You ever see this show, his show Rescue Me?
I have seen it. I haven't seen a ton of episodes, but yes, I've seen it.
So in I forget which season. It was one of the later seasons, though. But he rocked a BC Lions t-shirt all the time. Like, if there was 13 episodes, I'd say made an appearance in, like, 6 or 7
Come
episodes.
On. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, a little Ashton Kutcher with the Red Blacks and his show. I like it. I was a big Dennis Leary fan way back.
So we got Ashton versus Dennis tonight.
I like Dennis better than I like Ashton. I don't love that, Graham. Well, who do you like? Ashton Kutcher better than Dennis Leary?
No, I like Dennis Leary better, yeah, but exactly. I don't dislike Ashton Kutcher.
I didn't say that. Okay, I like Dennis Leary better.
You know who would vote in the other direction?
Who?
Steve Bunda, because he loves that show that the Red Blacks shirt made an appearance in.
When we come back, I haven't got your opinion yet on Kevin Fiala going to the LA Kings, but I want to talk about that. Ilya Mikheyev, the Leafs say available, and some of the other rumblings in the National Hockey League. And I want a quick take from you on the Memorial Cup. St. John Sea Dogs, your Memorial Cup champions, beating the Hamilton Bulldogs last night. And you know what? I'm not too happy about it.
What's that?
Well, I'll tell you after the break. Brad Sinopoli at 4:05. Lever Sage, Graham Creech with Matt Conisvita live at TD Place, getting set for the Red Blacks and the BC Lions. 7:30 the kickoff on TSN 1200.
The drive continues on TSN 1200.
Welcome back. This is right down my alley. Lever Sage, Graham Creech, Matt Conisvita, Carly Rae Jepsen.
I'm disappointed in you, Lever.
Yeah.
And it's not for Carly Rae.
No?
It's just the amount of no's I got on the Canadian content. Like, legendary bands.
By legendary, you mean old and, like, 60s and 70s.
No, I mean legends. The band?
You didn't bring much 80s and 90s, 2000s to the table.
Well, because I know that those answers, I know what those answers are. Like, if I had to say, hey,
you realize it's 2000.
Do you like I Mother Earth? I know the answer.
Do you know it's 2022?
Okay, what's your point? You're going back to the 90s?
No, but I can go back 40 years, and, like, that's not good enough because it's not 50 years ago and it's not 60 years ago.
No. I'm not saying it's not good enough. I like I Mother Earth. I like OLP.
I don't know why you brought I Mother Earth up. It's
because,
like, the
first
band.
Those are two examples of 90s bands that I enjoy. I just
haven't heard any hip yet. This afternoon, and I haven't heard you talk about the hip the same way you talk about the band.
I didn't even mention Neil Young.
The Guess Who. I like Neil Young.
So today, because I play a lot of hip on the drive, I play a lot of Canadian artists that we love, and today, as we get set for Canada Day weekend, I'm going with maybe some Canadian artists that I don't play all the time on the drive. Cam can come in at 4:00. And he can play the old staples, the Tragically Hip. I don't think that's a bad thing at all.
No, I don't either. I do have one request from one of you.
It's going to have to be for
C.
Cam.
I love Great Big C.
I want the Great Big C vibes right now. Okay?
Love Great Big C.
Okay. Well,
the night that Patty Murphy died is a night I'll never forget. Maybe a little run away. Like, come on. So many great Great Big C songs.
That Slade had Runaway before Great Big C.
I wonder if Great Big C would be anywhere near Cammer's wheelhouse.
You'd be surprised. He can.
No, I have been surprised by some of the things he's thrown out there, but I just can't. I can't really see Great Big C being one of them. Like, our kids growing up, like in grade 9, 10, putting Great Big C on their party drinking playlists.
They should be.
Are they, though?
Is there a better drinking party band that's Canadian than Great Big C?
Yeah, probably not.
I'm stumped.
Like,
yeah.
Spirit of the West, Home for a Rest, is like the only other one that absolute massive banger party drinking anthem for Canadian acts. But Great Big C is right up there.
All right, speaking of Canadian acts, the act is wearing thin with me at the Memorial Cup.
Oh, what a segue.
Oh, Lever.
Okay.
Lever Mendez.
Wearing thin. And that's great.
Here we go. I want to hear this.
Oh, high voice.
I don't. I was. never mind.
No, and I think.
I was disappointed when St. John won last night because I was like, oh, here we go.
Because the team that lost in the first round of the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League playoffs, who had 39 days off while other teams had to go and win 4 grueling rounds to win their trophy as the best team in the Ontario Hockey League, the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, and the Western Hockey League, while St. John sat back and decided, you know what? We need a new coach. We're going to bring in a new coach in Gardner McDougall from UNB, the legendary coach, because we'll just bring him in. And while we have 39 days off and the other teams are tearing apart and getting injured and doing everything they can do to win their titles, we're going to bring in Gardner McDougal, and then we're going to sit back at home, have the pancake schedule where we get to open things up against the team that just came off a Game 7 win in the Ontario Hockey League in Hamilton. And then we're going to win the Memorial Cup and we're going to call ourselves champions? Give me a break. And you know what? AJ brought this up yesterday, and it should be mentioned because it is a little bit rich for us to sit here and say it without recognizing the fact that the Ottawa 67s lost to the Belleville Bulls in the second round of the playoffs in 1999 and went on to win the Memorial Cup. But at the time, that was pretty much a one-off. That teams had just not, if you were hosting the Memorial Cup, you were at least getting to your league final year after year after year. And yes, it happened in Ottawa in 1999, but it didn't happen very much. It's happened three times this decade where teams have hosted, they've lost early in the playoffs, they've sat back while other teams have had to go through a ton more than they have, and then they get to host the championship, win a couple of games, and call themselves Memorial Cup champions. I'm done. No.
What would you like to see the format change to then? Because, like I'm with you to an extent.
How many
that's why they won, because the other teams, and specifically in this case in the final, Hamilton, beat up because they went through four rounds.
Right.
We heard about how many of their impact players were playing with serious injuries. Like, we get it. They're tired. They're beat up. They're the Lightning and the Avalanche, but junior hockey version, and they get to play a team that lost in the first round.
Well, imagine the Leafs coming in, strolling into the Stanley Cup final after one of those teams gets there, and then the Leafs beat them. Talented team who lost in the first round. Oh, we'll call ourselves Stanley Cup champions. No, no. So what?
From the outside looking in, and I know, like, you can't take the championship and those rings away from those players, but it can't mean as much as it would to it. Like, if one of the other league champions had won, like that.
Right.
That's a true, like, Memorial Cup champion.
Yes.
Been through the grind. Then you defeated the champions from the other leagues for sure. But I just, like, what do you propose they do?
Well, first of all, I propose, did anybody even know, if you didn't follow sports on a regular basis, that the Memorial Cup final was now on a Wednesday night? Like, it's never on a Wednesday night. So what I would propose, I'd propose somebody to host the championship and have a couple of cities that are there and going to drum up enough support to be able to say, I don't care whether a team's in it or not, we're going to support this, and this is going to be our Memorial Cup.
So what, there's only three teams in the Memorial Cup?
Yes. What would be wrong with that?
I feel like you need four.
Okay. So bring in a fourth team.
What team?
Bring in the best team with the best record, if you want. There's so many different things.
What if you're that best record and you lose in the first round?
No, I mean, like, getting to a final. The team with the best record that got to a final. And you would never, you'd never know.
So you just set up your host city in a random city.
Yes. Heaven forbid. In a random city, or do the crazy thing, and AJ put this forward, because I got to give him credit. I don't hate the idea. Have two games in each city of all the teams. So go to all three teams, Hamilton, Shawinigan, Edmonton, fly the teams out to Edmonton, play two games there, three games there. Get them all in there against the two games against Edmonton, where Edmonton gets home ice. Then go out to Shawinigan. Do the same thing. Then go to Hamilton. Do the same thing. And then have a final somewhere else. So every team gets two home games. Oh, you got to fly the players a little bit. Okay.
And those rinks couldn't book those dates, hoping that the team gets to the
World Cup. Oh, man, they couldn't book Shawinigan, eh? Couldn't book their building in two dates in June? Anyway, there's got to be a better way.
Maybe I'm Mother Earth's plan.
Okay. There's got to be a better way because you're right. And there's an asterisk beside the St. John Sea Dogs.
Nah, there's not because it's not something different. It's the way it's always been. Is there an asterisk beside the 67s in 99?
Here you go. An OHL ref has just texted me.
I'm not saying I disagree with
you. I'm just going to read it. The three league champions should play a round robin, one game at home, one game away against each team. After the round robin, the team that's in third place is eliminated, and the remaining two teams play a best of seven or a best of five for the Memorial Cup Championship. Sounds good to me. Any way that you
the one part I'd pick apart of that would be the best of five or best of seven. That's five rounds of more than five rounds.
Okay, but whatever it is, the teams are on equal footing.
Yeah, but still, that's too much.
Okay, the best two or three then for the final. Good. But they're all at the same, having played the same amount
of
games.
We don't disagree overall on this. I'm just saying, and I agree with you. If Hamilton had won, they're like true, through and through Memorial Cup champions. They went through the gauntlet.
I was cheering for them last night.
For sure. I'm just saying.
And they looked exhausted.
You didn't answer my question either about is there an asterisk beside the 99-67s?
Yes.
That was Lever Sage, not me.
Okay. They lost in the second round. I mean, you can't be hypocritical about it.
I know, that's why I'm calling you out.
But that happened one time in a 20-year span, where now it's happened three times in 9 years.
But you're right. Like there's a trend. That's why they won.
There's a trend that's moving now, right? Because it's harder and harder and harder to win. I hated it last night. And I love junior hockey. And I hated that event last night. So,
yeah, one other thing I'd have a problem with, if I think you do need a host city. Like, you couldn't just, okay, you know what, it's going to be in Edmonton, and whoever gets there. Like, it's going to be in Peterborough, and the Petes aren't there. Like, nobody's going to.
Okay, then fly the teams around. As we said, two games in Edmonton, two games in Shawinigan, two games in Hamilton. Those buildings be sold out.
Now I'm cool with that.
Okay. So we're starting to figure this thing out.
When I asked what your plan was, I did it thinking, I know AJ has a plan. Because anytime he has a theory about how to better some type of league championship or regular season or schedule or whatever, he's always got the plan. Like, he's got that figured out already. Step one, do this. Step two, do that.
I don't mind having it in a city. If they're a junior hockey city, then go support junior hockey that you're going to host a Memorial Cup regardless of whether the team's in it. And if you're not, then don't apply because you're not as good of a junior hockey city as you think. Let's go downstairs. When we come back, we are going to talk to Brad.
We're set up.
We're going to talk to Brad Sinopoli. We have the commissioner.
Connors is like, let's go, guys. I got to get to the stadium.
Exactly. What are you doing? 580 CFRA news update coming up. We'll have what you need to know and come back with Brad Sinopoli. Next on The Drive, live from TD Place here on TSN 1200.